Wind Down with Jana Kramer, an iHeartRadio podcast.
Oh my God.
We're just starting it right now. He just walked in. Wait, I just have to give one more hug. Sorry, one
Go
second.
For it.
Oh my gosh.
You don't even understand what Sarah is going through right now. Oh. I mean, I FaceTimed her last night. Yes. She didn't sleep.
No. Oh. Well, I'm glad to be here.
I'm so excited.
Okay, for everyone who doesn't know right now, because obviously you can only hear, you can't see, Tyler Henry is in the Wind Down studio right now.
All right.
So I don't think you'll remember because you read a million people, yeah. But you read me in Nashville. Gosh, it was 2 years ago.
Yes, I remember.
You do remember?
Oh, yeah, in depth. I brought through your friend's mother.
Oh, my goodness.
And you
gracious.
Were trying to connect with your grandfather.
Yes,
serves.
But okay, so I just have to tell you this. So I almost canceled that reading because, sorry, baby. The day before we had our reading, I found out about my husband's affairs and we separated. And so I was just like, I can't go. Like, I can't go. And, you know, what if he, like, sees the stuff and then nothing's public right now? I don't know what's going on. So that's why I brought all my girlfriends. It was because I needed, like, my girls behind me. I needed my girls to support me. So, and I think, do you think one of the reasons why maybe you couldn't read me as well as maybe others because I was so closed off? Because I was terrified of even like letting you in.
Definitely. I think the intentions that a client brings to a reading can definitely affect it. And I always say that people kind of hear what they're needing to hear usually. So it's interesting that it kind of ended up going in a different direction.
But then you said that, you know, my husband and I were going to have another baby. And at that point I was like, that is not going to happen. But we had another baby. You were right. We mended our path and, you know, we ended up having another baby. So you were definitely right on that. But I was talking about that because Sarah is kind of having an interesting moment right now because, you know, she's been trying to reach her grandma and she's, I mean, I'll let you kind of take it.
So I know how Jana has expressed it. Like she talks to her grandpa and she sees him and she's very well connected with him.
Right.
And so I was just kind of trying to pick her brain because I guess like my question is like, what advice do you have for someone who is, I'm like, how do I be open?
You know, I mean, you were on your bathroom floor being like, grandma, please.
Yeah. I mean, right. So I had like a moment where I was like, I've been looking for her, but it's kind of like one of those things that it's like, am I looking so hard for something?
Sure.
And you know?
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's the same way with readings too for me. Like sometimes it's hard for me to interpret information. I don't want to overanalyze it or project meaning where there isn't. I would say for people who want to connect with their loved ones, the number one way to do that is through synchronicity. So synchronicity is really just coincidences with a meaning or with a reason behind it.
Yeah.
And I think when we can notice these synchronicities, then we can get that validation. But I think people are so busy with their schedules and their lives and the beeps and the buzzes of their phones. Mm-hmm. That they're very rarely present enough to really notice 100%. Those coincidences when they do happen. So,
I'm like your biggest fan.
Oh, thank you.
I think. No, because it's just, to me, it's such a gift what you have that I'm like, it's so crazy.
Oh, thank
like,
you.
Like, I can't even begin to understand, like, how, do you just like turn it on and off? Or like, how is it like right now? Are you just like overwhelmed with things? Or how do you even go about your day?
Yeah, well, you know, I always have kind of found that I've had to be able to turn on when it's necessary and turn off when it's necessary. So when I'm actually doing an interview or answering questions or just kind of going about my day-to-day life, I have to kind of actively avoid connecting. I have to make sure that I'm not connecting to someone's loved ones, that there's information that's not coming through. So I have to be able to focus on what I'm saying and being coherent. So as Jana saw when we did the actual reading, there's a bit of a shift that happens in my mindset when I start scribbling. And it really is very illogical. I kind of go into a much more subconscious state where I'm then focused on interpreting the information. So creating that kind of on and offness has helped me navigate life. For sure.
As someone who's kind of a skeptic, my husband, he's, it's not that you're, I mean, yes, you're a skeptic, but is it because you don't understand it? Or is it something where you're just like, someone can easily find a grandpa that's been gone or?
Sure.
It's not that I'm a non-believer. I am skeptical.
Yeah.
I'm skeptical just in life in general.
It's a good way
These kind of things, I just feel like there's so many people out there that just want to have one little tangible thing to hold on to where it's like, just from my experience witnessing things, I feel like people steer them in a direction.
Yeah.
Like, you know, that's just my perception of it.
Sure.
Where, you know, a medium or somebody will say one thing and the person gives them the whole story about it. And it's like, well, like, what do you, you're giving them all the information.
Exactly.
So I don't, that's just my point of view. Yeah. And I mean, we've had a few people on here that have, you know, believed a little bit more.
Sure.
But no, that's just still my point of view. I'm just a little bit more. Do you feel that from somebody when someone's a little bit more skeptical or closed off?
I'm actually very skeptical myself. If I didn't do this for a living, I would have a hard time believing it even exists, to be honest. It's one of those things where I'm the kind of person where I'm like, well, show it to me. If you can do it, then do it.
Right.
So I totally get that. And I think that's really why I personally put such an emphasis on validation in these readings. It's really making sure someone hears information that's specific and detailed, or information that may not make sense in the moment but makes sense later on. And it's those things that substantiate that connection.
I was going to say, only because I've seen, like, every episode, and I, like, understand. But, like, can you kind of explain, like, how, because I've heard you say, like, I don't see dead people. Like, that's not how I work. Like, can you explain kind of, like.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think one of the biggest misconceptions about mediums is that it's, like, the sixth sense, that we see dead people walking around. And for me, it's actually not that way at all. That'd be pretty cool, but that's not how it works. If anything, I really just sit with a person and kind of enter into a daydream-like state. And when I do that, I basically just start noticing any changes that go on in my mind or in my body. So I might have a vision, kind of like a movie playing in my head. I might get a physical sensation that corresponds with how someone died. I might hear a noise. I might get a smell. Sometimes I even get tastes. And so I have to take all of that stimulus and turn that into information that can then be validated by the client. And so there is an inherent interpretational aspect to it that can sometimes be a challenge. So it's really just kind of a process. And as the reading goes, information continues to come through.
Is that where you start to kind of go fishing a little bit, where you're, you like you said, you have a sensation, a smell, a taste, or something, then you kind of start probing and throwing things out there to the client?
I would say, if anything, it's more of an attempt at trying to get validation. And if anything, I often won't look at the client as I'm speaking to them. So I'm usually kind of looking in a different direction. I'll verbalize what I'm feeling, and then I'll continue verbalizing any additional pieces of information that come through. It's kind of like a sentence. If you look at a sentence, you have like the main point of the sentence, you have the sentence fragments. So it kind of comes through in fragmented ways as a way of trying to kind of convey a collective thought. And that really doesn't even require the client's involvement as much as it's more interpretational on my end.
How much of this is like you compared to another medium, and how much of this is subjective in a sense of when you have these sensations, is there like a study or a book or education that you go to? It's like, this means this, or is it all, it's different? Like a taste or something that you, a sensation you might have might be completely different for you compared to another medium?
That's an amazing question. I've done a lot of interviews. It's the first time I've actually heard that question.
Oh,
so
cool.
Yeah, I'd say it's actually different for every medium. Every medium kind of works differently, but it's all very symbolically based. So it's based on symbols, being able to identify a sensation and figure out what it means. Because things mean so much more than just the initial feeling. So I think a good medium can take those changes, those sensations, and formulate what it means in a way that's going to make sense to the client without the client's involvement.
Right. Interesting.
Is there ever a time where you see something or feel something and you're like, this isn't going to go, I don't want to tell them this. This is not going to go over well.
There's definitely been times where I have not wanted to do a reading, and I've had to do a reading because I'm employed as a medium and the network is sending me. But yeah, in those situations, I usually find if there's a hesitance on my end before I even walk in, it's usually because there's a lot of pain there or a lot of trauma. And therefore, there's a need for healing. And that can kind of put me in a difficult position because I sometimes have to deliver bad news. And, you know, it all is ultimately for the betterment of the client, but it is difficult to articulate, sometimes difficult.
So Sarah was telling me that she was watching, was it the interview with Khloe Kardashian?
Well, I was watching on Daily Pop yesterday.
Oh, shucks. Thanks. We love them.
Anyways.
And she was saying how you...
You were like, I didn't... Yes. You were like, I'm not taking credit for the whole Jordan thing. But they were like, you kind of... did, and you were like, well, I saw it, but I didn't want to, like,
so you saw that Khloe and Tristan weren't going to end up together.
Correct.
But you didn't say it.
Correct. Yes. I was, if anything, more giving Khloe a general idea of what to look out for. Look, I'll say this, I don't believe the future is set in stone. I think any psychic that sits in front of you and is like, this is going to happen on this date, they're full of it.
Yeah.
I think a good intuitive person can get an idea of the trajectory of a person's path. And I'll use this analogy. If you have a frisbee, you throw the frisbee, you can have an idea where you want it to land, and midway through, if it's in the middle of the air, and have an idea of probably where it's going to go when it's up in the air. But as an intuitive person, I sit down with people and we'll kind of connect to the trajectory of their love life or their career or their health. And sometimes I'll be able to kind of figure out where that frisbee is likely going to land. There's always a possibility a gust of wind is going to come out of nowhere and knock that off course. But it still is useful to get an idea of at least where things are headed in the current moment. So when it came to the Khloe situation, there were a lot of relevant issues that were going on. I saw distance being a big problem in their relationship, and it was at that time. There were a number of things that came through, but they were really preventative. And I was just trying to be like, look, this is what I'm feeling that you need to keep in mind to save your relationship. And
wow, you know, I just love that because a lot of, you know, I've had it when we were separated, I went to so many different psychic and mediums and, you know, a lot of them, you were the only person that still saw us together and having a baby, even though you didn't know the break.
That's
but,
crazy.
You know, some were just like, oh, yeah, no, it's not going to. And it's again, like you said, you can't be final with some things. You don't know but I don't know. Exactly. You can feel.
Yeah. I think it's an interpretive process and people shouldn't put themselves in boxes and psychics shouldn't put people in boxes by saying like, this is the only way that this can happen or this is absolutely going to happen. I think a good psychic gives advice to that person more to how to approach the future in the present versus telling someone's future.
How old were you again when you felt these?
Well, that all started when I was 10. I actually had a premonition of my grandmother's death.
Oh, my heart is like throbbing.
That was crazy. Well, it's just beating. Like, it's a good sign.
I mean, just like I feel like just like listening to you, I just like, oh my God, I can't. Keep going.
Thank you.
Like, no, keep going. I'm just like, because I know the story he's going to tell. So that's why, but keep going.
Yeah. So in April of 2006, I was 10 years old and I woke up one night and just had this knowingness that my grandmother was going to die.
Oh,
and
gosh.
I didn't know how to explain it. I didn't know how to verbalize it, but I went into the room to try to explain this to my mom. And as I was explaining it to her, her phone rang and she stopped and she picked it out of her purse. She answered it. It was my dad on the other end saying that my grandmother had just died. So that was really the catalyst that kicked it all off. But at 10 years old, I didn't identify or recognize that as an ability. Mm-hmm. It was just more something that happened to me. So it just started evolving into these little moments of knowingness. It would be small things that when I would verbalize them to kids at school or teachers, they would be like, yeah, that makes sense. How did you know that? And it took a long time to really apply that to reading.
With a reading like that, like a sensation like that, where that is a definitive end, right? Like you're talking about the trajectory of a career, of a relationship, whatever, like that, life or death, that is definitive. So how is that something when you have readings maybe with somebody and you foresee a death in a family? Like how do people receive that? Like, do you have an idea of a timeline when you see those things or feel those?
Or do you even say it at
this
all?
Right, do you say it at all?
Yes, is a great example.
I mean,
wait, Alan, which one was that?
Alan Thicke.
So. I like literally, I mean, we knew him.
Yeah.
And so I could cry. Like that was
what
insane.
Happened? What happened?
Well, I sat with Alan. He was a total skeptic. He didn't believe at all when he went into the experience. And he received a reading with his wife, Tanya. And as I was sitting with him, he had a loved one come through who died of a genetic health, like heart condition. And this loved one came through, and I remember very strongly it was focused on the heart. And this loved one was coming through saying, Alan, get your heart checked. Get your heart checked. Get your heart checked. And it kept coming through. And I was
chills.
Like, Alan, you need to get your heart checked. Like, this is coming through. I'm certain
like
of this.
Like, he literally said it, like...
Like, repeatedly. Like, I kept repeating myself. And he laughed. He goes, you know, I remember his laugh. He said, thanks, Dr. Tyler. And then he died 3 months later of a heart condition that he did not know he had. And if he had taken the steps to go to a doctor, that could have been prevented. But in speaking on that story, I just want to say, I think when it comes to medical stuff, like I don't predict when people are going to die.
Right.
If I get a feeling that someone has a medical problem that they're going to deal with an issue with, I try to tell them. Because I think knowledge is power. We can wield that. We can go to our doctor with knowledge and say, hey, I have this feeling. Can we just check it out? And that can save lives.
Oh, my God. Do you feel anything of anyone in the room? Do we have to check something?
I sent that video to, like, I was like, this is
why. It
was just crazy.
How does that affect you when something like when Alan Thicke passed away and you had that sensation months earlier? How does that affect you? Like, how do you process that afterwards?
It's a good question. It's one of those things I've actually still kind of been in a position where I've had to process it because I was actually able to meet with his wife after, Tanya, and give her some comfort because she had had that initial reading with Alan on the show. And so that was just a lot. I feel like she was grieving. I was grieving in a very different way, obviously, much more separated. But yeah, it was one of those hard things where, you know, you want to save everyone you talk to and you want everyone to live their best lives. And then, you know, I realized also though that you can't force people to go to the doctor and you can give people information, but what they do with it is up to them.
I mean, gosh, I just have chills.
No, full body
I'm like,
chills.
If you were to tell me, it's, you said two things that have kind of always stuck out. What is the word? Stuck out.
Yeah.
One was that I had to, for health for me, was something around wine, and that I'm not able to drink wine anymore. I was like, that's never going to not happen. So, but that's always been in the back of my mind. I'm like, oh, is this going to make me stop drinking wine? No. And then you said Jolie, my daughter, has potentials to see and hear things. So what do we look out for that? Because remember I told you that about how Tyler said that, like that she might have those capabilities.
Oh, sure.
Well, I think all kids, for the most part, do have the ability to connect in some way. Whether they're seeing spirits, I don't know. But I definitely think kids have the ability to connect both to information that other people don't usually connect to and maybe see spirits. So I think kids, as they get older, they're just kind of told to not trust themselves. And I think that that's a big part of why we lose our intuition. I think as children, we live in these kind of imaginary worlds. We're going with our gut. We're not having anyone to say, no, don't think that, or no, that's wrong. So as a result, I think kids are very honest, brutally honest sometimes, but also very tuned in, I think, to their own intuitions. And sometimes kids will say things and you're like, wow.
That's so funny that you brought that up, because I was on the phone with my mom this morning, obviously telling her I was coming here. And she was like, Sarah, because I told her I had like a little episode on Monday night. And she was like, you don't even know this, but like, I guess this is the time to like bring it up. She's like, when you were like 2 or 3, you woke up that morning and you came into our room and you said, Grammy told me, and you said something that literally no, like the most bizarre thing, your dad and I, it freaked us out. Cause she passed year. I mean, I never knew her. It was my dad's mom. And my mom's like, you came in and you were like, Grammy just told me. And she's like, your dad and I literally were like, she's like, it freaked us out. And I was like, well, what? And she's like, I just remembered it. And I was like, well, I could have used that. Like, who knows? But I think you're right. Like, kids.
Sure.
That's so. I'm sure Julie has.
Do you feel her grandma in here?
Not at the moment. She might be on a smoke break. But
wait, that's really crazy.
That's funny.
Was she a smoker?
She died of lung cancer. She was a heavy smoker.
Oh my god.
No. Like, and I know that was a joke, but like, that was like.
That is funny.
That was a deep joke.
That was a deep joke.
First time I've ever said that.
That's funny.
Oh
my god, you guys.
You guys need to have a private reading.
Oh my god. I'm already freaked out.
That's funny.
That's so funny. But yeah, wow. Yeah. Oh, I was going to ask you, what's the difference between like a ghost and a spirit?
Great question.
I'm just like,
So I always say, you know, when I do readings and I'm connecting with people that come through, I believe that they've transitioned. So I believe that they're no longer like stuck here. I don't really deal with like those like Ghost, the movie, where there's like the light and we're trying to transition. It really isn't that way. In my entire career, I've had one instance where I've interacted with something that I felt was like earthbound or like a ghost, something that was like stuck and wouldn't leave. But I really don't think it's as common. I really find when they come through, they acknowledge that death is much like birth. So they will acknowledge it in the same sense of like, this person's kind of going through a rebirthing process, or they're going to transition, and it's really just a continuation of life. But I don't think it's natural to stay in this realm.
Mm-hmm. Is there anybody that you wouldn't read, like for whatever reason?
I mean, I would give my best shot to anyone who was put in front of me. I can't think of anyone who I'd be like, absolutely not.
Right.
But yeah. I find, though, I like to read people who have.
What about O.J. Simpson?
O.J. Simpson? Well, that'd be an interesting one.
That'd be great.
Oh, my God.
That would be.
What made you think of that?
Well, because when you said who he wouldn't read, because it's a speculated murder, I'd be very curious to see what who would come up for you.
I doubt he would do it. And then even if he would do it, I don't know if I would want it on the show, because that's so like gross and explicit.
Yeah.
So I
think
I would want to do that privately, but then there's nothing to gain privately if you're reading OJ. So
do you think that's a good topic though? Do you think there's something to be said about kind of the skill set that you have and crossing that over with some kind of law enforcement? Do you think,
absolutely,
have you ever been reached out by any kind of law enforcement to assist in anything?
So there have been people, families of missing people who've reached out with the curiosity of what could come through or what do you feel. And right before I got the show, I was contacted in my hometown by a woman who I had read, and her niece went missing, and she'd been gone. And I remember it was over like Messenger, and I was just like, I'm seeing a parking garage and I think she's still alive.
Oh my God.
And I just feel like next 24 hours. And it ended up that her niece was found safe. She had ran away with her boyfriend. She was found in a parking garage. So things, it has happened. It's something I want to kind of refine and do more. And I think as time goes on, there'll be more opportunities to kind of take part in missing persons cases.
I mean, I feel like anything would help.
Yeah.
You know, if I was a parent of I would do anything.
Oh yeah. I would go to every reading until
And actually, I just recently filmed something for Oxygen called Smiley Face Killers Hunt for Justice. And it was actually, it's a whole series that focuses on these drowned young men between the ages of around 18 and 25 that have been found across the United States. And these two investigators believe that they could have been actually murdered. And so they've contacted these families to try to dig up these old cases and see whether they were murdered or not. And I met with the mother of one of these children who had died. And I just wasn't getting a homicidal feeling around it at that time. And if anything, it indicated more of an accident or more of just kind of a situation happening. So if anything, sometimes not knowing what didn't happen is just as valuable as knowing
what
happened.
I was going to say, I feel like for a lot of people, it's just closure. Like for me, I know it would just be like a closure thing, which I feel like grief is so hard. There's no book. You know what I mean? Like we don't know how we're not taught how to grieve. And I think that it's obviously different for everyone, but I feel like the common consent is like, we just want closure.
Yeah, totally. Absolutely. And then there's no period.
And what a gift that you're giving people too for that.
Thank you.
I mean, that's incredible. I mean, you're using your, I guess, powers in a sense for people's closure. I mean, I think that's truly like such a gift that you're giving people.
Thank you. At the very least, I just hope it helps people have a conversation around grief and self-awareness and loss, because we're all going to experience that and go through that experience. We may as well be open about it and not feel afraid to talk about
it. I mean, what you did for my best friend, Leslie, I mean, that was, I could never thank you enough for that. I mean, just that she had her closure from her mom and knowing that she's in a, you know, a better place and that she's there watching her. I mean, that's something, I think that's incredible what you do. Thank you for, you know, helping others and using it in a positive way and not in a, you know,
it's scary.
You know,
No.
Where can our listeners find you?
Yeah. So I'm all over Instagram at Tyler Henry Medium. I don't use Twitter as much, but that's Ty Henry Medium.
Can people get readings from you?
They can. So there is a waiting list at the moment.
For 10 years?
For a little while. Yep. But I actually.
How long is the waiting list?
I've literally.
175,000.
I'm on there like 5 times. Yes. I've emailed so many times.
175,000.
How many readings? Sarah, a little closer to the top.
Right. We'll get you up. We'll bump
you
up.
So you.
How many readings do you do a week?
Like a week? It really varies. It totally depends. Because I do a lot of Skype readings and I do charity readings.
Okay. That was what I was going to ask. Yes. So you don't have to physically be in front of someone.
Correct. Yes. It can be done over the telephone.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Because she was researching others, because she's like, there's no way Tyler's gonna be able to do me. So
we'll hook up after that. Well, I'll give you contact info.
Because I was like, she was like, you can call, and I'm like, but can people do that over the phone and Skype? I figured it was like a vibe. So it's not like a vibe thing. You don't need to like.
I mean, it is, but it doesn't require just. It doesn't physicality doesn't.
That's
really matter.
Interesting. Yeah. Wow.
I would want to physically be in front of. That's just how I am.
I would too, but like we'll take what we can get. Right. Like if I need a
175,000 people later, I'll take it.
She needs some answered real bad.
Text,
so
we'll text.
If we can just get her bumped up, because she needs to know some answers.
I love
like
it. We'll talk after. Absolutely.
Okay, perfect. Tyler, thank you so much for coming on our show. We really
appreciate
it.
I'll
give it up for Tyler.
Yeah.
Thank you, everyone. Appreciate it.
So what I'm just now kind of getting into is stocks. What I have recently started using to help with that is Robinhood, because other brokerages charge up to $10 for every trade, and Robinhood doesn't charge any commission fees. So you can trade stocks and keep all your profits. You can do stocks, you can do ETFs, options, cryptos, all commission free. Plus, there is no account minimum deposit needed to get started, so you can start investing at any level you want, even if it's one penny. So it's a simple way to do that. View easy to understand charts and market data and place a trade in just 4 taps on your smartphone. You can also visit view stock collections such as 100 most popular, which is what I do because I get kind of scared. So I just see what everyone else is doing. With Robinhood, you can learn how to invest in the market as you build your portfolio. So discover new stocks, track your favorite companies, and get custom notifications for price movements so you never miss the right moment to invest. Robinhood is giving listeners of Wind Down a free stock, like Apple, Ford, Sprint, to help you build your portfolio. Sign up at winddown.robinhood.com.
All right. Well, first thing first, Sarah had to leave. She's going to go find her ring and try to.
She's going to be gone a while.
Oh, sad. And then, no, she's going to go channel her grandma. No, but honestly, she left because she wanted to follow Tyler Henry out.
She's a super fan.
She's a super fan.
I had no idea.
I mean, super fan.
I didn't know people like Tyler had super fans.
Oh, I mean, he's a huge.
I know, I don't follow any of that, but I knew him. I know he's a huge deal, but still, I just didn't think people followed mediums like that.
Well, I think because he's on E and Sarah's literally obsessed with E, and when I told her that Tyler Henry was coming on. And I knew that you're kind of a skepticism. You're a skeptic. You're a skeptic. So that's why I was like, well, I need Sarah on to be my
to be enthused and interested. Yes. And
I feel questions. Like you were interested though.
No, I always am. I'm very interested because I just don't understand.
What don't you understand?
Just how people have that ability.
It's crazy. But do you believe the ability, or do you believe just
to an extent? I mean, I believe in intuition.
I mean, how crazy about the Alan Thicke thing? That's insane.
Yeah, I mean, that's nuts. That's nuts. And
I mean, how can you not believe when he's when it's something like check your heart, and he freaking dies?
My thing, playing devil's advocate in those situations is, okay, you know, he had that feeling about his grandma, right? And then he also had the Alan Thicke thing. Then it's, did he have any of those feelings with other people and they just didn't happen? And he's not talking about them? Like, did he have feelings of death with somebody else? And he's like, nah, I'm not going to mention those ones because they didn't happen. Mm. I'm just saying.
I mean, and that's why you're a skeptic.
Right. It's all good. It's just a question. But I liked him.
We have another huge guest, though, coming on the show. I mean, ginormous. I grew up with this dude.
He probably gets called his character's name more than his actual name.
Which is why I'm not going to do that. I'm going to call him his name. I'm not even going to bring up FH.
Yeah, I bet you do.
Well, I just have to say it. Danny Tanner, Full House.
Yeah.
Danny Tanner. I'm going to say it before he comes in. Oh, my God, it's Danny Tanner!
You're probably going to
say
it.
Okay, I got it out. All right.
So I never knew that I wasn't brushing my teeth long enough. Basically, that, and then also, you're supposed to change out your toothbrush every 3 months. Had no idea, but that's what you're supposed to do. So I've learned that with Quip. So Quip is a toothbrush. It has sonic vibrations. So for me, I do have really sensitive gums, and I was honestly scared to use Quip because of that. But it's gentle enough on your sensitive gums. People actually brush too hard, and some electric toothbrushes are just too abrasive. But there is a built-in timer, which is 2 minutes. That's the recommended. And then every 30 seconds to remind you to switch sides. Up to 90% of us don't brush for a full 2 minutes. I know I haven't, but with Quip, I do because it tells me how long to. By the way, 2 minutes is actually a very long time if you think about it. So it's nice to have something to remind you. The great thing about Quip, though, is that 3 months goes by fast. So throwing away your toothbrush every 3 months just seems like a lot. But here's the deal. Quip sends you the top, the bristles every 3 months. So again, crazy, super good. Brush heads are automatically delivered on a dentist recommended schedule of 3 months for just $5. So that's why I love Quip, and they're backed by over 20,000 dental professionals. Quip starts at just $25, and if you go to getquip.com/Jana right now, you'll get your first refill pack for free with the Quip electric toothbrush. That's your first refill pack for free at getquip, getquip.com/Jana. All right. Real talk, Instacart, moms, kids, teens, adults, you guys, Instacart is by far the greatest thing that has ever been invented. I'm obsessed with it. I feel like I don't have enough time in the day with 2 kids, well, technically 3, Michael. I just feel like I don't have enough time in the day. And so, you know, since Mike cooks, my job is to go grocery shopping, but I really don't like going to the grocery store. And again, can't find the time. So in Instacart, all I have to do is I downloaded the app instacart.com, and I can choose whatever I want from whatever store I want. So when I live in LA, I either shop at Whole Foods or Gelson's, Ralph's. I can pick any store from any of those places. And then when I'm in Nashville too, like for example, I'm flying to Nashville next week, so I want to stock the pantry. So what I'll do is I will say what I want from Publix, and then I'll say when I want it delivered. And you can have delivery in as little as 1 hour or the time that works perfect for your schedule. So if you want the groceries being delivered when you get home from work, boom, that's what you can do. They keep your hot items hot. They keep your cold items cold. Again, it's the easiest thing ever. So no sitting in traffic, looking for parking, or waiting for the checkout line. Instacart.com. And you can get $10 off your first order. So to get this limited time offer, go to instacart.com or download the mobile app and enter my promo code Jana at checkout. That's $10 off your first order today at instacart.com or through the mobile app. And do not forget to use my code Jana. Instacart.com or through the mobile app with my code Jana at checkout.
Can we just start? Because I'm so excited.
I've been 30 years of radio, so I know where the cough button is.
You did radio?
I'm just being on it all the time.
Oh, okay, I was like, I didn't see that on your on the breakdown.
It's not on my my bio. No, it's not. From God knows where.
Did we start? Guys.
Sure.
I've been asked that by many people in my life. But I'm married now, so I don't get asked. Right.
It's that.
How censored are we right now?
Pardon me?
How censored? Do we have to be?
You don't have to be censored at all.
Really?
That's why we got
Zero.
Easton over there. He's got the button.
I don't want to get bleeped. I mean, the new video show, I'm saying I get to say penis. I'm pretty excited.
Why can't you say penis? And that's like a part. You have a penis. I have a vagina. You have a penis.
Some say.
That's your husband. That was a question.
You have a penis?
Do you?
You have a fill in the blank.
Guys, Bob Saget. Hey!
Let's be overexcited.
No, I'm so excited.
I'm excited. You grew up watching me. You both
I wasn't
did.
Even going to talk about
what
Full House.
What an assumption.
You watched the video
what an
show
assumption.
And you watched Full House. Am I accurate? You
didn't watch Full House. I was not actually going to even say assumption. One thing about Full House because you get it all the time. So I was just going to not say anything.
I'm like on a Big Bird suit. You know, people go, Danny Tanner. And
see,
then
I just was not going to. I want my inside, like little girls, like Danny Tanner.
Well,
but
not,
I was like,
it's
I'm not
going
do
away.
It.
It's still, you know, we have one more season, which is amazing. They're doing 18 shows. And
for Netflix, right?
Yep. And then it's a fifth season. So that's the final one. They say it's the final one.
My kids are 12 and 9, and they're obsessed with Full and Fuller. So
it's really nice.
They love them both.
That's, you know, it makes us all feel good. We all love each other.
Well, since you brought it up, can I ask a couple questions then?
Go ahead.
Because obviously
it wasn't real Windex. And I do have a dust buster at home. And John Stamos is hot.
Yes, he is.
And Dave Coulier is just like Joey.
Well, here's the thing. I loved him because I'm from Michigan. So Red Wings was my team. I mean, I used to figure skate for the Detroit Red Wings.
When the horrible tragedy happened in Detroit with a couple Red Wings that lost their lives in a limo, Dave flew John and I out there. We went there and he didn't fly us.
That was awful.
Not a good pilot. It was horrific. And
awful.
We did a giant benefit. And we did a celebrity, I actually was a coach. I don't know anything about hockey, but it was so meaningful and so beautiful. And Dave is just one of my best friends. He's a very, very
good
guy.
So you genuinely like the uncles?
Well, I've known Dave since Dave was 19 and I was 21.
Oh, wow.
So we met 10 years before we got the show. But he had the show before I did. They got rid of a guy to put me on it.
So that's the question because John Posey,
who's wonderful. I don't understand it.
He was casted originally as Danny Tanner.
Yes, but
and
they
then,
wanted me originally. But I had a show on CBS called The Morning Program, early morning TV against Good Morning America and Today Show. And then they found out that I was being fired from that show.
Awesome.
Because I was too hot for morning TV, apparently. I didn't do anything wrong. The host was Marriott Hartley, and she said, are you a type A personality? And I said, yes, but I'm working on my anus. And she said, go to your room. And I went to my room, and they didn't. It was a real room. I mean, it was like you go upstairs, and it's a flat. There's nothing there. And I stood there for 10 minutes waiting for commercials. And it was sad. But I was really happy because then I came back to L.A. and did Full House.
So are you still friends with the other guy?
Everybody.
Everybody is? No, I mean like the guy that you took his part.
Oh, I never met him.
Oh, you never met him?
No, but
okay.
I feel for him, and I probably owe him about 1,000 dinners. But
probably.
Yeah, probably.
But that's okay.
But you know what?
It's life, though. That's the world of acting and
But also
auditions
the producers
and
of the show, Miller Boyette, had many shows that they replaced their leads in. If a pilot doesn't work, it's known in showbiz to recast. And they do it just because they think it'll be a better fit. It's not that he's not good, because he was good. I watched it. And I hate that they put it on a DVD box set. But let's not talk about
him.
Yeah,
yeah.
I got a dirty video show coming up. Oh, ask me more Full House questions.
No, I have one more Full House question. When you read, because you're not like Danny Tanner.
No, I'm an actor.
I know, but
so
that's what
I'm a comedian and an actor and a director. I got a movie coming out in April that I directed and acted in with funny people.
What's that called?
It's called Benjamin.
Benjamin.
Rob Corddry and Kevin Pollak and Sherry O'Terry and Dave Foley and Max Burkholder from Parenthood and Clara Mammoth, but I don't know the cast offhand. And I'm trying to think of all the other people. Oh, Perry Gilpin and Marilyn Rice Cubb. It's an independent comedy. So
when you read, though, Full House,
let me get that plug in.
You're welcome.
You got back to Full House.
Gotcha.
That's a soft toss.
Good gotcha.
And you can cut it out if you need
no,
to.
No, I love it. No, when
cut
you...
Cut it out.
Oh, there you go. When you read the script for Full House and you saw that
I
character...
I said yes.
I know you did, but were you... Did you almost... Because you got so typecasted in that...
Well, but you don't know what typecasting is until you go, well, why am I not... I mean, Comet got... Dog got Air Bud. And Stamos was mad because Comet got a movie. And he didn't.
That's amazing.
So, you know, it's just show business. But at that time, you couldn't host a video show or be on a sitcom where you're playing a sappy character and necessarily get a movie career out of it. And it still doesn't happen for a lot of people, that depending on the kind of work they do.
Yeah. Was but After Dark then your idea to kind of go a little bit more what
crazy.
You like?
This is what happened. I had no intention of ever doing a video show again. Everybody's done them great. Daniel Tosh, Joel McHale's a good friend. He was doing Talk Soup, and Rob Dyrdek on MTV. And I've been asked to do, I did two of those shows, but
well,
I,
then the
I
one on ABC,
Rob.
The,
well, the America's Funniest Home Videos has been on for, it just got the highest rating it's gotten in like 5 years. But when I hosted it, it was number one, and it's been number one on ABC. It's a staple, you know. Yeah. But it's done the way kind of like I used to do it, you know, except ours was bigger produced. We were on for 8 years with me, and people didn't have the internet, so they couldn't go look up a video. And now some of those videos, a few of them are on this new show. But what happened was a guy named Rob Mills at ABC, who's the head of Alternative, very smart guy and is a big fan of mine, which I question his intelligence, that's self-def. I was going to say defecating. That's not good. I was going to poop on myself, but which is self-deprecating if you are self-defecating. But Rob Mills had a meeting with Vin DeBona, and Vin's, you know, that show, that video show's never, it was AFHV when I did it, America's Funniest Home Videos. Yeah. They took out the H and made it AFV. My joke is that people just lost their homes, so they took out the H, but it was a rough time.
It's rough.
Yeah, I can quiet a room. But what happened was, what happened seriously was Rob Mills, funny. Thanks. We rate them by, we need a dry erase board when I'm on things of what's good and what's not. And then we cross off two things and we're done. But what happened was Rob Mills said, you got the show. You've been sitting on it for 30 years. All the videos you could not air.
Because they were too raunchy.
What's the line there? Like what really categorizes
the line
these
is nudity. The line is a kid flipping the bird. The line is someone cursing, but you can't run that at 8 at night. I was hosting it at 7 o'clock and 8 o'clock on Sunday nights. That's church day.
Right.
You want to sit around the TV, and that's why it was so successful. You want to sit around the TV with your family and be able to watch something. And I always thought there was validity in doing family television, which meant, why can't I do what else I want to do as well?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I'd been dirty in a movie, a Richard Pryor movie. Got to know and be friends and work with Richard for many years just because I knew him from the Comedy Store. But also, I was in this movie, Critical Condition. My comedy was always off the rails and got weirder as I got older.
And raunchier. Because I've seen you at stand-up.
Well,
and I'm like, Danny Tanner is raunchy.
Well, it's not. It's Bob Saget plays Danny Tanner.
Yeah.
But my
sense
of humor is, I started at 9 with that sense of humor. And it was all based on gallows humor because we had a lot of death in our family. So my dad would just help us get through it with filth. I don't know why. He would just tell his 9-year-old son dirty stuff.
Whatever works.
They worked. And
death in your family?
Everybody.
What?
I lost two sisters, and my father lost four brothers.
Oh, your sister had...
One of them had scleroderma.
So I saw that movie.
Yeah, For Hope with Dana Delaney.
Oh, my gosh. That movie was incredible.
She was amazing in it.
Holy crap,
I
just remembered that.
Was,
oh, that was amazing.
And tried to put scleroderma on the map, and we're doing another benefit April 25th in Los Angeles at the Beverly Wilshire.
Beverly Wilshire.
And we have amazing comedians. I can't say who they are because it's top secret, but it's like, it's a big event. It's 800 people.
I mean, because I remember watching that and I didn't know what it was. It's like,
hardening of the skin.
Move. Like, she cannot move. Wow.
And
she
your
move.
Teeth rescind. But mainly the things that you're most upset about is your esophagus deteriorates the flap and you have too much collagen, but it makes you taut, makes your skin more taut. And then people that lose their lives is the pulmonary hypertension, which is your failing of your lungs. And so the video show is really fun. But anyway, I want to finish this.
I
like that you brought it up. It means a lot to me. I've been doing it for 28 years. I hosted it before she was even sick, this benefit. And
can you say the name again of what it
was? Scleroderma Research Foundation.
Scleroderma.
And the website is brand new. We just put up this giant, wonderful website, which is inventing new things. srfcure.org.
Okay.
And it is, it really is showing what we're accomplishing. We have raised through these comedy benefits, and Robin Williams, bless him, did 7 of them.
Oh, wow.
So we've always had the biggest comedians that exist. I can tease you by telling you that Ken Jeong and Ray Romano will be performing April 25th.
Love.
And you can get tickets for that on our website.
Okay. Oh, let's go, Ben. He's obsessed with comedy.
And
comedy's
another website, which is the ticket website, which is srfcchc.org, but srfcure.org is also probably easy. But that'll be April 25th here in Beverly Hills. I would love it. I would love
we're
it.
Going,
I
can yeah. He loves comedy and, you know,
well, this comedy shows, all that. I
and
love
then we're
stuff.
Supporting an amazing cause.
And we
so.
Have a couple special guests that we can't say because there's a special we can't tell nobody. But we've raised over $48 million.
Wow.
And we've all the money's gone to research. And that's
so
over a
25
year.
So how many people are diagnosed? Do you know?
No one knows. It's hundreds of thousands is kind of what we say. But it's some people get combos, like they have cancer and scleroderma.
Okay.
And other people just get scleroderma. Not just. I mean, it's a horrific disease when you see kids with it.
I mean, that movie was in the 90s, wasn't it?
The movie was 96, and
yeah,
she died
in
94.
I remember watching that and just being, I mean, I was born 83, so I was 13. I'm terrible at math, but I just remember watching that. I mean, that was an amazing movie, and I didn't know you directed that. That's incredible.
I directed it and exec produced it. With my friend Brad Gray and Bernie Brillstein, and
it was powerful. I mean, I just remember being at that, even at that age too. You know?
And we had a great writer, Susan Rice, and a great producer, Karen Moore, and it really made a difference. And we beat ratings that night for everybody for ABC. We beat all the other networks, but there weren't all the cable options.
What do you like doing the best? Directing,
I
comedy?
Love them all. I mean, this movie's coming out in the next couple months, and I'm actually loving Videos After Dark.
Yeah.
Very, very much, because I'm free. You know, I got a call 5 months ago.
You
and
get
Vince
to say
said,
penis. It's great. Well,
I'll say it every day. But no, you got to pick your spots. You got to pick your spotting. But Vin said, look, I want you to do your stand-up. I really want you to do it. Be Bob. I said, within reason, of course, because you're not going to come out and drop F-bombs and stuff. And,
yeah.
And I'm doing that less in my stand-up. I'm on a big tour around the United States and Canada also all year. So I'm stupidly busy. And it's like writing that show while we've been on doing stand-up has been challenging. But I wrote the voiceover, so I'm doing voiceovers again. That's one thing that no one, even Tosh, is great.
You have
great.
A very low voice.
I do, but I do, oh, look out. You know, like when I did the old video show, it was like, look out, oh. And people would get hit in the nuts and go, oh, no, nothing could happen to me. Flagging, you know. And just like, but it was like doing like the guy that did Bugs Bunny and Sylvester Mel Blanc and did all the great Warner Brothers cartoons. I just copied him, but I'm not great at it. But I have a low voice of that, you know, because I narrated How I Met Your Mother because they wanted to make Josh Radnor seem as though he smoked a lot of cigars and drank for 20 years. So I had to narrate it, post-date it. But
so your way of kind of dealing with pain is covering it with laughter then? It's kind of how you got taught.
It's not covering. It's actually
therapy.
Therapy,
yeah.
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 I mean, it used to be covering. Mm. I used to talk really fast in my stand-up. You know, my first joke was like, I have the brain of a German shepherd and the body of a 16-year-old boy, and they're both in my car, and I want you to see them. And that's like, what? And I remember meeting Robin Williams the first time. I was 21. I was at the Comedy Store, and he had just watched me, which is obviously a nice sign. And a bunch of the comedians started watching me. My first host was Letterman at the Comedy Store. And Robin, because I'm 112, but Robin said, oh, so your mother is Gumby and your father is Pokey. Okay. You know, it's like, this is what you're going to do? This is your comedy?
Right.
This is different. And and then people like Billy Crystal befriended me, and just Jay Leno had a bit about incest I thought was funny. And he says, yeah, you're the one with the sick mind that would find that funny.
Who were your inspirations, like, as you're kind of growing in that comedy
scene?
It
would be Richard Pryor was kind of the king of it. And I think the closest we have, besides Chris Rock, is Dave Chappelle, who really does speak. And there's something about honesty. And there's something about giving your opinions about what's going on and not being afraid to give them, but yet still find the humor and still be kind through it. Mm-hmm. And there aren't a lot of people. Bill Burr's a good friend, and he's sensational. I mean, the way he dive bombs into something, you just don't want to hit that area. And
what do you want to talk about more? Is there anything that you're kind of afraid to talk about, like politics or?
I don't love talking about politics or religion because I have beliefs that probably deep down most people share, but I also have conflicts because I'm not sure.
Someone's going to get butthurt over this.
Well, yeah, they're butthurt.
But isn't
hurts.
That what a comedy, because that's why I like comedy shows, though, because there's no, you don't have to be politically correct. And that's why I love
no,
going to shows.
No, you don't, but you do have to be different. I mean, I've been doing a lot of gigs, and we're about to go out with my friend Mike Young, who's also a writer on the video show, who wrote for Entourage. That's how long I've known him. And because I used to do that a bunch. And it's, you really want, if you're going to do stuff that's misogynistic or has a pedophilic joke in it, I mean, it's like, you don't want to do it, but you watch the news and it's in our consciousness, but it makes everyone so sad because it's so wrong. And these people shouldn't be, they shouldn't even be on the news.
Do you find that there is a changing of the guard kind of in what you can touch because of the sensitivity of just society in general, where it's just like, I don't even want to touch that because someone's going to cry about
it. I did a show in London and there was one song I do, like some of my show is music, but I guess anywhere from 20 minutes to 40 minutes, depending on how long a set I'm doing. And I played this great Leicester Square Theater there. And there was one song I shouldn't have done. And I didn't know there was more sensitivity to it there. Then, and now I realize just cut it. Don't do anything that's so sensitive. That's, if you find it funny, you're laughing out of some racial uncomfortableness. It wasn't racial. It was more sexual in nature. It had more of a transgender type of, but it was like a love song to a transgender individual. And it wasn't interpreted that way. And I don't want it to be misinterpreted. I want it to be very clear. I'd rather say something horrible and people know that I mean well. And that's what I'm not kidding. This video's After Dark. You guys are going to like it. I promise you. It's on Tuesday. Yeah, I've got to tell them. It's on Tuesday. It's just this Tuesday. It's a sneak peek. It's a first look. And it's on after the Bachelor finale.
Okay.
Ooh. And if you look at my Twitter feed, Colton had said that if he ever went the other way, I'd be the guy.
Oh,
you know, because he's a virgin.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, but I think he's got to
pop that cherry. But
I don't want to. I think he's got a fastball. It's gonna hurt. You know, he's a ball player.
All right, Bob. Thanks for coming on our show. We really appreciate it. We know you have to wrap it up. So thank you.
I don't want to.
I know. I don't either. But I got the signal from your lady. So.
Oh, but we can wait. We can wait two more minutes. Two more minutes. Because I just want to talk about the video show for one more second.
Yeah,
it's a big deal.
It's huge.
It's never happened before. It's not like the other video shows that people want it to be.
What time is it at?
10 o'clock.
Okay.
So it has
a disclaimer at the front. It's like a girl's gone wild.
That.
I love it. It says, can't do this, can't say this. And I really do think, I wrote the theme song, and I sing it, and we recorded it at the Capitol Records building in Studio A, which is where Sinatra and Nat King Cole used their mic.
I wrote the damn thing,
and it's really cool.
Well, I think what's neat, and you can't,
that happen.
You can't get in trouble for that, because if our daughter, she's three, if she's up at 10, that's a problem with us, that we're not putting her.
Well, she's going to see little kids saying words that are bleeped, and she's going to say what she's saying.
Well, she's not going to be up at 10 o'clock, as I'm saying.
How old is she? She's three.
She's three. We have a three-year-old, and then we have a three-month-old.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you.
You must not be sleeping.
No, not at all.
No, we are. He just was sick
last
night.
It's almost like a press tour.
Yeah, kind of.
But I had three daughters myself that are old now, and they're
that was
the
with your
best.
First wife.
That was my first. I only had two wives in my life, and I had 20 years off to have relationships
fun.
And not be some.
You
fun.
Just got remarried though.
I did. Just I think it's 4 months ago legally now.
Okay,
and she's wonderful. She's just incredible.
What happened with what was the break of that?
Well, that was not to be personal, but the main thing was what would it be? It's like Tom Cruise, who we all trust for knowledge, said in Jerry Maguire, everything has a time. Every relationship has a beginning and an end. It can be an hour. It can be a year. It can be a week. It can be 10 years. And we were married 14 years. We had three amazing kids.
Love.
We've raised them. You know, anybody says to me, are you an active, did you ever see your kids? I went, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
You know, you go to Hades because I was an very active father. Mm-hmm. And then I would, they'd be with their mom half the time, half with me. And then when I was working a lot, I went and directed a movie or two, and then I was not available. And so they would come. I was shooting this movie, Dirty Work, once with Norm MacDonald.
Classic.
Yeah, there you go.
That's a classic.
We want to make
right
a
there.
Sequel. Norm wants to make the sequel.
Absolutely, please do.
Can he be an extra? Because his dream is to be an extra in a movie.
I can get you. If you fly to Toronto or wherever you're shooting. Yeah. But Norm MacDonald.
You need a bodyguard.
Norm's, Artie Lang's a good friend, and he's been going through a hard time, and we love him. And Norm's said that the movie should be called Dirty Work 2. Keep Artie alive.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, but it was a very special time for me and a movie. But we were getting divorced. And we have raised the most amazing daughters that are not DJ Steph Michelle. This version is 32, 29, and 26. So they were 3, 7, and 9 back in the day. And I tried to make it work. And she wanted to make it work, and it just, life does what it does.
Marriage
it throws
is,
you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I was like alone at the beach, depressed, LA guy living in a beach house that he rented, went off to direct a movie in Toronto, just lonely as it, just sad. it's opposite of what people think. Yeah, you know, they think you're just going to be a player.
But I mean, look at you now. You know, you've now met the love of your life.
I've met the best person, and she is, her name is Kelly, and she's just wonderful, and my kids love her. And
love.
And she's just perfect. She's an influencer. She's has a thing called eTravel Rock, and she's developing a thing. A lot of people are into her right now. She's going to be on, she's going to be a correspondent on a thing on Extra.
Oh,
so wow. I think I'll be in it with John Stamos. That's kind of the idea.
I love it.
Because I love him. He's Uncle Jesse. So anyway, the show will be on Tuesday. That's what I...
And what's your one last pitch? Like, what's the difference between Videos After Dark and the Tosh Pornos and the ridiculousness
it's nothing,
and all that?
It's nothing like it because I'm not doing sketches.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing just straight stand-up, and I'm not pushing because I'm twice the age of Tosh. So, no, I'm two-thirds, but one-third. I don't know. But I'm twice the age I was when I did America's Funniest Home Videos, and it's just real. It's just more real. And I'm ad-libbing, and I'm talking to the people. It's
just
like
being you.
I am being myself.
Yeah.
And it's in between, but you're still reading teleprompter, but you go off it.
Authentically Bob.
And thank you. That's the plan. And it's more of me, if the public likes, than the old show, because the videos are, once you go into these videos, you can't believe what you're looking at. It's just insane. It's
so
people
we're really gonna
shocking
belly laugh.
Each other with shock things and just horrible competitions.
I'm so excited.
And people from the South just lighting each other on fire accidentally.
Let's try that at home and then send in one.
You're going to want to. You're going to want to do. And you get $500 if you upload it.
Oh.
Yeah, that'll be on the show Tuesday night. It'll tell people how to upload their tapes or not tapes, their data.
Right.
Their movie from their camera. And there's just stuff you can't. There's a guy sliding down a hill and he's in a bathing suit and the hill is covered in ice. And the bathing suit comes off, and then he's face down, and he just keeps hitting little icicles and stuff. But he's not even caring. He's not even hurt. And then he gets up at the end, and they have to blur it, and he goes, ta-da, and it's like, and there's nothing left. They didn't have to blur it. I mean, it's gone.
Oh, yeah, it's gone.
He dry erased it. So that's the kind of, and I narrate the stuff, and it's just, it's a hell of a lot of fun. So I hope
I
people
it.
Like it.
Congrats,
and then,
man. That's
and
awesome.
We did 12 more episodes that'll be on after, in the months ahead, after this big hour thing.
Love it. Well, thanks
for having
so
me.
Much.
Thanks for letting me keep talking.
I am really having a hard time finding time for things. And one of the things that I think frustrates me the most is going to the post office because it's just a hassle. There's always a really long line and it's to drop off one thing or a package. It just, I don't know, it just seems such like a time-consuming thing for me. So that's why I'm obsessed with Stamps.com. It's so easy. All you have to do literally is go on stamps.com and that's it. It saves the trip to the post office. They'll send you a scale. They'll send you everything you need. So all you have to do is simply use your computer to print official U.S. postage 24/7 for any letter, any package, any class of mail, anywhere. I mean, it's literally the easiest thing ever. So with stamps.com, you get 5 cents off every first class stamp and up to 40% off priority mail. Not to mention, it's a fraction of the cost of those expensive postage meters. It's, again, it's just a no-brainer. You save money, you save time. It's no wonder over 700,000 small businesses already use stamps.com. And they also send you a scale too. So if you're sending something heavier than just a letter home to your mom, if you're sending a package, they'll send you a scale. So right now, my listeners get a special offer that includes a 4-week trial plus free postage and a digital scale without any long-term commitment. Just go to stamps.com and click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in Jana. That's stamps.com. Enter Jana.
I just have to discuss something because I feel like a lot of women that listen to the show can relate. And I honestly want to know what they do and how they handle it because Michael has the man cold right now. And,
it's a real thing.
But here's my thing, though. I don't understand why you feel like you're dying when you just have the cold. And I had the cold. I had a fever. I had a runny nose. I couldn't breathe. I was coughing. I had terrible sinus headaches. I mean, again, fever. I mean, feeling awful. But yet, I didn't stop. And you're like, I'm dying. I mean, you're out for the count.
Yeah. Men, it is scientifically proven that men get colds worse than women.
Oh my God. We have actually the same cold. All of your symptoms.
It manifests stronger in men.
No, it doesn't.
Yes, it does.
But that's the thing. It doesn't. Like we've equally had the exact same symptoms and you've been the biggest baby. But what I don't understand is
the thing is, I haven't though. Like, have I not? What haven't I done? What haven't I done?
You haven't put Jace down in the past.
Okay.
Six nights.
Okay. Granted, because that's more out of caution of his health. Than...
When I was sick, I was holding him. I put him down still. I did, Michael.
I didn't let you a couple times.
Oh, I'm sorry, one or two times.
Okay. But I'm just saying.
But like, there's,
it's not,
I mean,
like
there's...
I'm like, all right, you got both. I'm in the room. Like, I'm still out there doing stuff.
Yeah.
Helping.
To an extent.
So I'm not,
you're more
really...
just, but no, here's the problem.
I'm kind of a warm
He's
body
actually,
around the house.
That's the thing. That's He's more of a warm body.
I'm like a coat hanger in the corner.
And then he'll make the loudest, he'll be like, I mean, your cough is so loud, but the worst part is he is stink bombing the house. I literally told him, I said, stay in the room if this is what's going to happen, because this is disgusting. I mean, I was so angry with you.
My body is fighting for my life.
Oh my God. It's
so
a cold.
Noises,
Michael,
and smells that come out of me, I cannot be held accountable for.
I just don't understand. Mark, maybe you can help with us is, you know, there are so many gifts and memes about men and their colds. And they even say that's why, you know, men can't have children because, you know, the species.
We would die through.
Yeah, you would die through childbirth because you can't even live through the cold. So I don't understand, because we have the same symptoms.
I'm on WebMD right now trying to find something to back up Mike, because okay.
Bro code.
There's really no difference in the immune systems in men and women is what it says here. They say that estrogen can...
I didn't think someone would actually look it up. Just take my word for it.
They think estrogen can maybe slow the spread of a cold throughout the body. So it might spread, but it's the same deal, basically, is what they're saying on this article on WebMD. And I'm a bad example of this because I refuse to ever admit that I'm sick.
Oh,
I'm
I love that guy.
My wife's like, Mark, seriously,
like,
you
go
can't
lay down.
Stop sneezing. Yes. You're clearly miserable. I'm like, no, I'm fine. I'm going to work. Everything's fine. Let me go, you know, out in the garage. Anyway, so I'm not that. So I don't know. I can't.
I'm the same way. And so that's the thing that I tell Jana. I'm like, when I am like kind of down and out, it means I really feel like shit.
Right.
Like I really feel bad.
Yeah, but your down and out is like down and out. Whereas I had the same thing and I'm not down and out.
You really weren't down and out.
Oh, see, that's... Oh, really? Oh. Trigger.
What?
Then you're telling me I'm fine. And you got real upset with me last night because it was a major trigger. In
oh, my God.
Because I said, what are your symptoms? And he said...
She went super parental on me.
No, I just said... No, I said, do you have a fever?
Do you have a fever? No, I don't think so.
I said, do you have chills? No.
Are you still achy? No, not really.
I said, okay, then you're fine.
Okay, you're fine.
And so he got real upset with me. That's a trigger from childhood.
I mean, it just felt so parental. Like,
but I just
her
meant,
telling
like,
me I'm fine. Mm-hmm. No, I'm an adult. I feel like crap. I'm telling you. How many times do I get sick a year? Once?
Not true.
Maybe twice?
Not true either.
Oh, you're so full of it.
Easton, do you have the man cold?
I like to think I lean into it when I get sick. If I feel a little stuffy, I'll be like, hey, oh my goodness, I got the vapors. I cannot lift a finger, sweetie. But why is it though?
I just don't understand. Is it just because you guys have more, you have the ability to just...
We have nothing. We have no excuse.
Chill?
We have no monthly period. We don't have children or estrogen or hormones or any of that give us a reason to be, you know, embrace sympathy or empathy. This is all we got.
We don't get empathy.
When we get a cold, we capitalize.
This is all we got. Okay, time out. Where do we get any empathy for our periods? When have you ever given me empathy for my monthly period? Never.
I'm speaking from a general standpoint, not from my personal experience, from the general point of view.
And you just walked yourself into a brick wall.
Anyways, let's get to some emails. Bottom line, I'm sick. I'm still here. I've still shown up as a dad.
Okay.
The only thing I haven't done is put Jace down for his health or cook dinner.
Or screwed your wife.
I did that the first time you got home. I wasn't feeling great.
Anyway.
You want me coughing? Come here, baby. You want me coughing all over you?
No.
Okay,
please,
yeah.
Please read us something, Mark.
Okay, sure. It's an anonymous email saying, I have a coworker and he's cheating on his wife. Oh. They have two kids together and I don't know. Should I let the wife know? Like, I don't even know if anonymous is male or female, but he has access to the wife if he wants it or she does.
I have a coworker and he's cheating on his wife. So it sounds like it's a guy.
Sounds
so,
like it, but then...
His wife happens to work with my fiance. With my fiance. So it sounds like the anonymous is from a guy, it sounds like.
Okay, well, anyway, he says, this is eating me up because I don't want to break up their family, but I feel she has the right to know. I would want to know if it was me.
Okay. I have two sides of this. From the side of it happening, obviously, I would want to know. Now, if... Before that, though, I would have said, don't say anything because it's not your business. So that's where I'm...
That's interesting.
That's where I'm torn.
Snitches get stitches.
Jesus, Michael.
No.
Do you see what I'm saying, though?
No, that's a tough dilemma. I mean, you have to, like, I guess try to bring it up with your coworker and... But at the same time, it's not your business.
It's
but that's
not
the
your
balance.
Business.
Like,
yeah.
We should stay out of other people's nonsense. But on
the
other
wife,
hand, I would want to know.
I know, right?
It's a catch-22.
It's a tough one.
What would you do? What if Easton was cheating on his wife?
I would bury my head in the sand and say, Easton, you should really knock it off, but I would not tell his wife.
You hear that?
All right. Game on.
Oh, my Allison.
It also depends on the situation, like who are you closer friends with and all that stuff. But I think in general, you shouldn't poke your nose where it doesn't belong.
Tori, get on. If I was cheating on Mike, would you tell Mike that I was having an affair on him?
Okay. Everybody, I feel like, got a way easier question besides this.
Yeah, you guys said it right there.
Because I have a soft spot in my heart for the both of you.
Uh-huh.
I kind of feel like...
Okay, well, what if he was cheating on me? And so let's say, what if, let's just...
The entire world would line up to tell you.
Well, that's also true.
Right, but let's say you were doing a good job, which, you know, it's good you can, and you can get away with it. But, you know, what if he was cheating on me? Would you tell me then?
I'd probably tell Sarah and then have Sarah tell me.
That's funny.
No, I'm just somebody where, like, if I'm in the same position, you're going to immediately get really mad at the person for breaking the news. You're going to go a million miles per hour. But at the end of the day, you're going to appreciate the person who was trying to be honest with you. So if I had actual facts that I knew this, I think that I would be honest in it, being like, okay, that friendship's probably gonna be broken now for a little bit of time, but the healing of it. And then at least I was being honest about the situation. Cause I think it's worse being the person who knew and doesn't say anything than being the person who says something, even if you're like,
right,
I'm gonna drop the bomb and leave, but at least you're gonna know that like it might.
And think about if you're the friend in that situation where if your friend didn't tell you and you're like, you knew.
I'd be so.
Can you tell me? You'd go nuts.
Well, I will say this. So, not to get like personal and bring up our stuff, which people don't like, but I will say one of the affairs partners reached out to me, but he didn't reach out to me when it was happening because he saw me on Facebook and saw that we had a family and he didn't want to break up the family.
Mm.
So, he said that he hoped that maybe he got better. So. In that situation, I appreciated that, but at the same time, I would have wanted that too. So it's, I don't know, that's where it's like I go back and forth with that.
I think that's...
Oh, are you okay?
Cough drop. Cold.
His cough drop that's saving his life.
It is saving my life. I think that's just a difference of whether you have a prior relationship, like a friendship versus...
Yeah, that's true.
Like if it's your friend, it's different. If it's someone you don't know, it's
just
like,
a coworker.
Yeah, if it's just a coworker.
And if you don't really know the wife... Then it's like, then you're just butting your business into something that you really shouldn't do. So if you don't really, so here's anonymous. If you don't really know the wife, our suggestion is to probably not. But if you, I would say if you are like close with them.
Or just as,
well, then why are you close with the wife?
That's my coworker. So it doesn't say my friend.
What do you feel about like an anonymous note?
Oh, I'm all about that.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like just slide it in.
No.
I did that in high school.
That's not, I mean, it's very high school of us, but yeah, I mean, that's like anonymous, like Instagram, like, hey, your husband or wife is cheating.
I just feel like also
there's got to be some kind of inkling probably happening in the household.
It'll show up.
So, it'll always be exposed.
Yeah.
This is from Jess B.
Yeah, that's what I was going to do. Nice. She says, my husband and I struggle with intimacy. In fact, I'm embarrassed to admit it, but we have not had sex in 2 years.
Oh, wow.
Like you, Jana, my love language is physical touch, so this has greatly affected me. We have 2 young kids and get caught up in the everyday life, so we don't always take the time to work on us. To me, a relationship with no physical touch and no intimacy is not a relationship at all. Help. Suggestions?
I'm going to let you take this, and maybe you should tell them about what we just did. Where do you want me to take it? Because I know your cold is really affecting.
I gotta limit my words. I'm only allowed so many words to speak per day, honey. By doctor's orders.
If you want to lay down, we can adjust the microphone.
Please.
Yeah.
Can I take this thing off the stand and lay down? I mean, 2 years. Wow, that's tough. I mean, what do you think? Where would you start?
I would do the tantra. We did tantra therapy, Michael and I, a couple weeks ago, and it's basically homework for intimacy.
Yeah.
And you have to choose how many nights a week, and after you do the tantra exercises, you're not supposed to have sex afterwards. So it's just about building true intimacy up.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if they do exercises, even if it's once a week.
Yeah.
You know, we've obviously set ours and whatever is good for them. But if you can find, because it is hard with kids and stuff, but if you can find a time to maybe just do once a week, one of the practices in Tantra, just to start to reconnect again and to try to have intimacy, because practice makes perfect, I guess.
No, I think that's a good point, honey, where you're not putting the pressure to just to dive back into intimacy.
Yeah.
From the get-go. It's not like, all right, let's set time together and just be intimate. It's like, yeah. No, it don't work that way. Let's give yourself some leeway, ease back into it,
mm-hmm.
You know, be soft with one another and, you know, see where it goes.
But do the work too.
Yeah.
It's like, don't just, you know.
Yeah. You got to follow up and do the work. And Jan and I say a lot on here is make intentional time for each other, because it's good that you're there for your kids. But if you guys aren't there for each other, then.
Yeah. And if for some reason, because Mike's fighting this awful plague, we haven't been able to do one of the days that we said we were going to do the intimacy exercise. So
mm-hmm.
We acknowledge like, hey, I am just, if you're not going to be present and be able to do it, then acknowledge it and then say, but I'd like to do it on this day instead.
Right.
So to still make intentional.
Can you describe one of the intimacy exercises?
So there's a couple. The dry hump is fun. You basically spoon and dry hump.
I think we have a title for this episode. The dry hump is fun.
The dry hump is fun. But you can't have sex afterwards. No, but the other ones where you sit and you just stare at each other for 3 minutes.
Yeah.
You hold hands. No, you hold hands, right? Yeah.
Yeah, we hold hands.
You hold hands and you stare at each other. Another one is a massage. So it's just touch. So it's just like touching, but.
And you're fully clothed.
You're fully clothed. But you can touch for, 3 minutes and then 3 minutes each and then. But that's a way of connecting.
And then
intimacy.
Another one is the 4 layers of touch, which is the first one is like your.
That one's hard for me.
Energy level. Second one is skin. Next one's muscle, then bone.
But you go, so you'll start like
you'll
above
start like
it.
Above their body. And then you'll just do lightly on their skin. Then you do deeper, more pressure under their muscle. And then even deeper, like to the quote unquote bone level.
And you can explore. And, if it does lead to stuff, that's fine. But don't put the pressure on it. Mark, you look so confused.
I think it's fascinating. The bone part sounds painful to me.
It's just a deep massage.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which can be painful.
Not if it's in the lower areas, because you can massage the entire body.
Well, this sounds like
so
it was fun.
So what kind of bone do you want to be massage?
All right, one more email.
Okay.
Lacey, my husband and I have been debating whether we should have a second child. I have a sister. And I can't imagine being an only child. The problem is, kids are hard. And I went through postpartum depression with my daughter, and I'm terrified of going back. What if I regret having a second? What if I don't love them the same? Did you have these same questions when deciding for your son? I think this is very relatable.
So relatable. Lacey, thank you for your question.
I was hugging Jana last night, and I said to her, I whispered to her, I said, could you imagine if we had a third kid right now?
It's like, hard.
We were just struggle city.
Yeah.
Jace
was, yeah.
It's just hard. It's been a hard week. But, 2 kids is doable.
Well, I will say this, Lacey. It is true. When people say that two kids are harder than three, 100%. The transition to two has kicked our ass.
Mm-hmm.
But we've now gotten to the groove of it. We're 3 months out. We're now in the groove of things. But what I will say is for us, I knew I didn't, you know, I had a brother. Michael has siblings. So we knew that we didn't want an only child. And sometimes, you know, I have a friend, Brianne, who has an only child. That's fine. That's what they want. And that's their decision. If you have that feeling that you don't want to have an only child, then that's something to be said for that. But then also, my biggest fear was not loving them the same. And I remember when I had Jace, and I don't know if it was from all the hormones or all the medicines, but I called my friend Beth, and I was so scared to tell anyone else because I felt like I didn't love him as much as I love Jolie, and it scared the heck out of me because I was just like, I'm supposed to, like, how do I not feel this love? And I felt like it was more with Jolie, and so it really messed with me because I thought I was maybe having postpartum depression because I just was in such a fog and I didn't feel connected to Jace and I didn't feel like I felt when I had Jolie, and it really freaked me out. But then 2 weeks later, I think it was just the medicines and the hormones, because now I love him more than Jolie, to be honest. But I think it's just a real thing, and we just have to talk to our friends because postpartum depression is very serious, and you know, our hormones are all over the place. So I think you just need to have a little grace for yourself and talk to your friends, because your friends, A, hopefully they know your symptoms, and if not, tell them that you had it before, and just make sure you have people there for you but you're going to love them in such a different love. Like, I love Jace in such a different way that I love Jolie. Mm-hmm. And I don't even know how to describe it, but I do. But now I feel like I just love him more as a baby sense.
Yeah,
it's weird. It's just different.
We never thought we'd regret having a second child because we knew we wanted multiple children. But we did have to ask the question, it's like, we loved Jolie so much before we had Jace. It's like, how do we love another human being this much? And like Jana said, I mean, we love him tenfold.
Yeah, and I don't mean to say I don't love Jolie.
No, it's just Jolie's a three.
She's being real difficult right now. I love her more than life.
Yeah.
But right now, I think I love Jace a little better.
That's your little man.
Because he loves mama. And Jace doesn't love, Jolie doesn't love mommy right now.
No.
She's like, I don't want to love you.
Say hello to you, Jolie. No love you.
No love you. So I said, okay, well, mommy loves you.
What about you, Mark?
What's the question exactly?
Just, did you have any regrets having multiple kids?
I did think there's no way I could love mm-hmm. daughter number two as much as daughter number one.
Right.
Which is funny to think about now yeah. because they're both amazing. So
and different, right?
And they're very different, and they have their unique challenges.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as this goes, and I don't want to say too much just because I cannot relate to postpartum depression, which is a very real, very serious thing, and so I don't want to be flip about that in any way.
Have you ever had a sinus infection?
Oh,
a guy, it's kind of the same thing.
Lacey, I'm hitting him for you. Don't worry.
But what I was going to say is that when you have the second baby,
it's not funny.
You will love it so much that you will laugh that you ever had these thoughts yeah. about the second baby. So that's what I think. I think if you don't want to have an only child, you would never wanted to have been an only child. I think you should have a second child. And of course, it's always nerve-wracking to have another kid, mm-hmm. bring another child into this world. But I don't think you'll regret it once it happens.
Amen.
Before we wrap all this up, we got to give a big thank you to Robinhood. Get started on investing with a free stock like Apple, Ford, or Sprint when you sign up at winddown.robinhood.com. Quip. Get your first refill pack for a free Quip electric toothbrush when you visit getquip.com/Jana. And Instacart. Get $10 off your first order at instacart.com when you use promo code Jana at checkout. Also, stamps.com. Get a special offer that includes a 4-week trial plus free postage and a digital scale without any long-term commitment. Just go to stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in Jana.
All right. Well, I think you need to apologize to every woman for the comment you just made about postpartum depression, because
am I going to get backlash for this? I was just kidding you guys. Sense of humor.
I hope they give you crap as much as they give me crap for my sense of humor.
They have empathy for me.
He's on lots of different cold medicines.
me.
Oh my God. I'm
not responsible for what I've said
now
today.
No, he's woozy from all the drugs he's on right now.
Yeah. And I keep being like, Taylor, take this. He's like, can I take it? Just, yeah, take that. You can take that with that. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Anyways.
Here, have some wine.
All right. Let's wind down later. Bye.
I'm going to go and get in bed.
You would. You're such a baby.
I'm sick.
Good show, guys.